Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
My strength.
Yes.
And my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Amen. This evening, I want us to part company. With a piece of information. And the information is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I will advise you, if you love your life, the Bible gives a piece of advice to those who love life and want to see good days, to keep their tongue from evil and their lips from speaking guile. And I'm adding that if you love your life, you will listen to this morning's message that I titled, God the Rewarder. If you love your life. I don't know where you get it, but by tomorrow you can, I'm sure you will get it on my podcast. There's also a conference podcast, so it's more likely on the conference podcast. But listen to me. All of us are good-intentioned people. We set out on a journey to know God. And how important it is. Anybody who sets out to know God is doing the right thing. Because except the Lord, you labor in vain. God is important. Contrary to the effusions of humanism, trying to make God irrelevant, I want to tell you that your life has no consequence without God. And if God is important, then you ought to relate with him well. Something you've not done so far. Because the Bible create the parameters within which we must relate with God. That anyone who comes to God must know that he is your number one responsibility in your quest for God, is that you must know that he exists, which many of us have passed. He exists. I hope you know that God exists. He is not a cloud. He is not an idea. He is a reality. So anybody who comes to God must know that he exists. He is. Not was. Not will be. He is relevant to your today. God is relevant to your today. No amount of money, no amount of problems, no size of greatness can minimize the greatness and importance of God. Can you lift up your right hand and say, he is. Say, God is not dead. He is. He exists. Say, he is relevant to my life. Having done away with that, then the next thing, only two things. Anything else is an unnecessary embellishment. What concerns you and your life in relation to God is that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. That is who God is. We have wasted our time learning important things, but they are not relevant to your life. All this El Elyon, Chikenu, you can't even spell it. How is it helping you? How is it helping you that he's El Shaddai? And so the Bible says that when you come to him, before you do El Shaddai, you should know that he rewards. If you have not passed that level, you have no business entering into spaces you don't need to be in. What you need to know is that he is a rewarder. That is who God is. If you catch that revelation, your life will change. Can you look up the meaning of reward? So that a rewarder is somebody who rewards. So what is a reward?
Something that is given in return for good or evil done.
A reward is something that is given
in return for good.
But it's not just giving for free. It's not just imparted without any triggering factor. When we say a reward, inherent in that concept of a reward is an action taken. Katunahasa. When we use the English, I don't know the French word, but the English, when we say English reward, it means that you have done something. You have no business studying God as a healer. Jehovah healer. When you have not exhausted the knowledge of God as a rewarder. So this has formed the basis for the ambivalence and the inertia and the disconnect that is prevalent in the church. Because we are not aware. We know God as a pot-bellied Father Christmas. Sharing gifts. He has a bag. He puts his hand inside. But that imagery of God as a pot bellied Father Christmas, sharing husbands, boosting sperm counts, giving wedding rings, is a figment of the adosa. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how long you've been in church. And I don't know who has taught you. But tonight, you happen to be sitting in a service that is unleashing in your direction the most important piece of information you need to have if you want to walk with God. Anybody who intends to walk with God ought to be interested in what I'm saying. That the God you are coming close to is a rewarder. In other words, any kindness that will come from him towards you will come in the form of a what? A reward. Which means that you should do something to get the reward. I don't care which Facebook pastor is teaching you. I don't care which book you are reading. You will never, ever escape the reality that anything God will do for you will be a reward. Either good or bad. Some of you sitting here are facing challenges you cannot trace the source. But if you understood that God was a rewarder, you would be so quick to find what must have happened for you to be experiencing what you are experiencing. He said, see how he introduced himself. He said, I am the God who visits the iniquities. You are not in tune. You are like somebody who is with a woman and doesn't know who a woman is. I am the God who visits the iniquities of the fathers on the children. And on the child's, Alice's child, who has done nothing. That's how I am. I visit. That's how I reward. My rewards are very extensive. Tiaka sunahaha. Keduna manda baba. Anybody expecting something from God and thinking that God will just do it because you asked him. Today you have to revise your notes. Visiting the iniquity of the father, of the fathers, to the children, unto the children's children, to the third. That is, I reward so much that I even give children who don't need anything, I give some to them. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you do not know that God is merely in your life looking for things to respond to. That's who God is. He's in your life looking for things. You don't receive things from God merely because you prayed. What have you done? He said, I will show mercy only to the merciful. If God's works, God, his works on earth are 100, 98 of them will be a response to something you've done. He just doesn't do things because it must be done. He looks at what you do. Even his love, he said, I love them that love me. I love them that love me. And when you are in town and you find and you hear that somebody has found me, it means that person sought me early. People who are careless about me don't find me. It's only those who seek me early who find me. You don't find God just because you left your house. The time you left your house matters. I just want us to, because we are closing, let's just, I want 5 people to just mention anything God does. And I'll tell you that it is in response to something. You see, as you sit here, what you don't know is that whatever happens between you and God is initiated by you. The first move is made by you. If God hasn't done something in your life, it means that you haven't done something. He's waiting for you. That is why the writer of Hebrews says that when you come to God, you must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder. A rewarder looks for something and responds to it. What are you doing for God to respond to? I'm asking a question. I mean, why should God give you a husband? What are the things a man does in the Bible for him to get a wife? So if you have not done those things and you have got a wife, it means you found your own wife. I'm here tonight to make an announcement that a lot of the things you have studied about God are nonsense. The omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God, The omniscience of God, how does it help you practically? If you have not mastered the rewarder nature of God. Because if you believe that he's a rewarder, if you knew it, you would not be sitting in church doing nothing. Your behavior betrays your knowledge or your ignorance of God as a rewarder. If you know that God rewards and you believe it, you will do things. That's why I said must believe. Is it believe? Is it believe? Yeah, not just know, but you must believe. That says, you see, your actions in life must be predicated on a conviction that what I'm doing, God will reward me. Oh, before I end, I want to say that it will also let you become very careful. You will not be careless in your activities, because you know that God recompenses, he punishes. Many people know God only as a God who does nice things, who gives sperms. Yeah. Many of you know God as a God who gives sperms, who melts fibroids, who patches up holes in hearts. Many of you know God as a God who makes the paralyzed to walk. But I'm here to inform you, he told Eli that the Lord killeth. 1 Samuel 2. The Lord, he does not only give life, he kills. Sunaka kaduni mahatabaka kada. Today, I'm telling you that you should be very careful. As you are removing somebody's daughter's panties, because that thing you are doing, there's a reward. I have been young and I'm now old. I have never seen a marriage that began with premarital sex going on normally. If you find one, bring it to me. Kadasita. I don't like the way the place is quiet. Because I feel that I sense rejection, and that what I'm preaching is nonsense, and I should stop it so that you can go. So I'm stopping the preaching. No, but I'm preaching. I've been brought from Accra to preach here. You are all quiet. You are not talking. You are just sitting there. What should I do? What should I do? I'm going. I should preach. I should preach. But why are you quiet? It's working on you. It's working on you. So I should go back and preach. I want to tell you, sit down. God is rewarding you. The things you are doing. You see, his very nature as a rewarder means that he's walking about. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. For the eyes. Do what? Looking for who? The eyes of the Lord are running. I said his nature as a rewarder means that he's not looking for someone to heal. He's not looking for someone to boost his sperm count. He's a rewarder, is looking for somebody doing something. All he wants to see, what are you doing? You are watching pornography. I'm bringing your reward. What are you doing? You have insulted your beloved. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who are involved in a certain activity. Kayada Baba. Those whose hearts. I don't know what that. KMUS, do you do English? Because your silence makes me want to preach in chi. I feel like preaching in chi. Are your lectures given in English language? English language? If God is showing himself strong to somebody, it means his eyes went to and fro and found a Gucci boy whose heart is perfect. It means he didn't find black man, blue man, pink man. He only found a Gucci man. Then the people who are doing foolish things, he gives them wars. He gives them wars. Hearing, thou hast done foolishly, therefore I will reward you with wars. The battles you are fighting in life are a result of your foolishness. It is God's reward. Why? So that you will not be careless. You will not be careless. You told Mensima, that you marry her. In the same semester, you got close to Rhoda. From Mensima, while you are with Mensima, you went to Rhoda. Rhoda, you didn't say anything to her, but you ate her food. The next semester, you pretended that you don't know Rhoda. Currently, you are with Stella. Eating. Now, it looks like you've done nothing. It's like you have said nothing, but God is going to recompense you. If you understand this, you will not bother to curse anybody. There will be no need to curse. No need. God himself, he will never allow any act of yours to go unrewarded. See, his specialty is rewarding. So he's on the lookout. Behaviors. I know I'm preaching in the Art of Evangelism Conference. Art of Evangelism Conference. It cannot be that a sister who is evangelizing and a sister who doesn't evangelize will have the same, will enjoy the same largesse. Why? Because two will be rewarded. And if two is different from zero, it means God's response to zero is different from his response to two. I want it to get into you that he is a rewarder. He's not a healer. He's not a healer. If you find God healing, it is a response. Believers that I can do this. Your faith has made you whole. I've done nothing. you are creating a life for yourself in a way you don't understand. It is on this premise that I can say that you are the architect of your life. If good comes to you, you created the environment for good to come. Be very careful. You took advantage of a boy who was trying to be nice to you. Managed to seduce him to get an erection to break your virginity. And you walked away. Now, even when the boy texts, you don't respond because you've got a timber merchant. I want to go home. Tonight, I'm saying that if in the Bible God does 100 things, 98, 99 of them are a response to something you've done. He's watching you. Everything you've done today will be rewarded. Whether good or bad. No, he said, if you come to him, concern yourself with the fact that he exists and that he's omnivorous. He's what? Omnipotent. He's what? Omnipresent. He's what? El Elyon. He's what? A rewarder. Say that God is a rewarder. He's watching me. Say what he does is that he watches me. He's looking out. Everything I do is responded to by God. Say he's rewarding me. My good deeds, my bad deeds, my evil deeds. From today, I will read my Bible and understand the things that bring good consequences. Say, I can't hear you. Say, from today, I'll read my Bible to look out for the things that when I do, I will get good responses. From today, I will fear God. Just because he's a rewarder. Every rewarder must be feared. The people who don't fear are people who are not rewarders. I said, the people we don't fear are the people who don't reward. He said, because sentence against an evil is delayed too much. Therefore, it is set in the heart of man to perpetuate nonsense. Wherever any church, any system, where rewards are not swiftly implemented, people misbehave. Whenever you find a place where people park their cars anywhere and are still alive in the country, it means it's a country with a poor reward system. You see that money you spent, the money that man gave you, that married man gave you, you will pay for it. It is money he should have used to pay for his son's health. But you used G-string. Pink G-string. I shouldn't preach. Eh?
No.
I should preach. I should preach.
Preach.
I should preach.
Preach. Preach.
Preach it all.
You will. Okay, then I will stop preaching. Then keep quiet. Keep quiet. You will never go scot-free. Anybody who has done something bad that nobody has seen. Nobody knows about it. Two things will happen to you. One of two things. One, the first is that you will surely suffer the consequences of it. Number two, God will decide to override, cancel your debt, if only he finds you doing evangelism. I mean, if you have gone to impregnate a girl, you've done abortion, and nobody knows, it's not come out, you are still in the system. One is that it will happen to you. You will suffer. That abortion you paid for, you will. God, the creator of the world, his main work he is doing on earth is that he is rewarding. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to say it. The only thing he's doing is that he's rewarding. You will pay for that abortion you paid for. Just in case you die without paying for it, it means God has scheduled it for your great grandson. He doesn't forgive. The only condition, Tosia Kwabaha Kadastumia Takaswabata Santa. The only scenario known in scriptures that can trigger debt forgiveness. It's only two. When you forgive somebody else's debt. And number two, when you evangelize. On this call, I'm continuing to give you 10 rewards. Oh, we should go and come tomorrow morning. Because what is the first reward? When God sees you evangelizing, in case you didn't come this morning, I want to say that I told them this morning that God does not see us as NGOs. We are not NGOs who do things pro bono, free, that we are just charities. No. Everything you do, he rewards it. Even if you don't expect a reward, he He's rewarding you. Now, if you can take a pen and a paper and write down 10, your last 10 miracles, your last 10 testimonies, the last 10 good things that happened to you, if you can remember to write the 10 down, you will notice that 8 out of the 10 are not things you prayed for. Likely it is 10 over 10. They just happened. But they just didn't happen ex vacuo. They happened as a response. Everything you do has a recompense. So when we evangelize, evangelism also has rewards. When you wake up on Saturday afternoon with your baseball cap and your sneakers and your jeans and you go out winning souls, you are not an NGO doing something pro bono. You will be rewarded. What was the first reward I taught you this morning? God's presence, his eternal presence. Matthew 28, 19. He said, and 20. He said, and lo, I am with you. Always. God's presence in your life is not free. It's a response to something you've done. If God is ever with you, it's not because he saw your skin tone. His presence in your life is a response. It's what? Response to something you've done. Notably, going out to win souls. Number two. The reward of what? Dominion over devils. When the 70 went and they came, they said, the devils are subject to us. For demons to be subject to you, it is a privilege you enjoy as a result of going. Anybody who doesn't go is subject to demons. Number three. I can't hear you. The demonic agents. Some of you girls. If a man with a baritone voice tells you he loves you, you will forget the name of your uncle. Get today's message. Number four reward. See, this is the art of what? Art of what? Art of loyalty. Art of giving. Which conference is this? Art of evangelism. Oh, okay. Evangelism. When you evangelize, God, the rewarder, has instituted rewards. But because I made this point, I want to make it number four. It's not number four in my notes. It's about number nine or something. It's number. It's number nine. But I'm moving it up to number four. A soul winner sows seeds. It's difficult to preach in this church. A soul winner sows seeds of concealing the sins of others. Shiakota bayada. Nanuma nana makata bada baba. A soul winner sows seeds of, when you win a soul, you have sown a seed. Not money seed, not accommodation seed. You have sown a seed of concealing the sins of the person. When you receive Jesus, your sins are concealed. A soul winner sows seeds of concealing the sins of others and should therefore expect a reward of covered sins. Is my English difficult to write? When you win a soul, James, the brother of Jesus, he's called James the Less. James the what? The less. James the Less says that in James 5:20, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This is the seed you sow. Can we have it in NLT? Any modern English language? Nakuakpa satakaka. You can be sure that whoever brings a sinner back from wandering will save that person from death, spiritual death, of course, and bring about the forgiveness of what? Many sins. So when you win a soul, you sow a seed because of your activity. Somebody, I'm not interpreting a verse. It's there. I'm not teaching. It's a verse. I've read it. I don't have time to teach. It's there in English. When you win a soul, the soul's sins are concealed. And since it is a seed, and whatsoever a man soweth, so, there is one of your greatest breakthroughs in life. It's not when you get a visa to Argentina. It's when your sins are forgiven. Romans chapter 4 verse 8. New Living Translation. It says, yes, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sins. Yet, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared. Give me cloth. I need cloth. Yes, I like this cloth. What joy for those whose record the Lord, not Peter, not Angel Gabriel, the Lord himself, the judge, the Lord himself has cleared. So one of the things God does is that he clears our sins, and he clears it as a reward for those who have cleared somebody's. Psalm 32 verse 2. Psalm 32 verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. The easy to read version says, it's a great blessing when the Lord says that they are not guilty. The New English Translation says, how blessed is the one whose wrongdoing the Lord does not punish. The New International Reader's Version, aka NEV, it says, blessed is the person whose sin the Lord never counts against them. So there's a possibility that a sin you've committed, which ordinarily should have attracted a just recompense, there's a possibility that God can erase it. One of your greatest blessings, because everything you are doing, he is about to pay. But if for a reason, God takes a cloth, for a reason, he takes a cloth to clean the person about whose sins God does this, that person is blessed. And how do you get God? And since we know that God doesn't just do things, it means if you find God doing this, it means it's a reward. For having done what? For having wiped, for having triggered the wiping out. When you get out of your house to win a soul, you are dealing with your abortion problem. We love, oh, I sold milk. I went to take meat from my mother's stew. You are the one laughing. As for you, what somebody will take from your stew? And what constitutes your stew? I don't want to use the microphone to tell you. When you evangelize, how many of you have got certain hidden sins that you wish God to clear? Can I see your hand? Me, I did something about 43 years ago. Nobody knows it. I'm asking a question in English. How many, tonight we are here. Yes. If you want to go home, you can go home. We are here. How many of you want... I came here to work on you. I'm working. How many of you have got some dark past that you want never that dark past to come up? Can I see your hand? You have a dark past. I also do. Can I see your hand? You want God to erase it. If your hand is up, then I will advise you. Go and trigger the concealment of somebody's sins. Tomorrow, lead someone to Jesus. Number five. What rewards? What are the rewards for evangelism? Is it that a person who evangelizes has the same life as somebody who doesn't evangelize? What are the rewards? One of the rewards is a mountaintop life. A what life? Mountaintop. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet. Nakasuaba. Should I stop the preaching?
No.
No, I heard somebody saying that we are students, we need to go. Oh, you didn't say it. Should I stop so that you go home? Are they not locking your gates? They're not locking your gates. More time. Clap your hands for the people there. Media, clap your hands for media. Media. Clap your hands for media. How beautiful. In the valleys. Upon the mountains. At the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. The word gospel is good tidings. That publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good. Give me water to drink. Nonsense. That publisheth what? That said unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Anybody who publishes salvation is like someone upon a mountain. Now, a mountain can easily be your greatest possession. Your location on a mountain. You see, in the battles of life, being at the mountain, on the mountaintop, is your strategically advantageous location. If we are fighting, and both of us have four arrows, one bow, same strength. Once our weapons are matched, where we are using it becomes the next important thing. And you don't want to be in a valley fighting with somebody on a mountain. Nakuta hasata. In the battles we are fighting, a battle for a wife, battles for a beloved, battle not to smoke weed, battle to be straight, battle for a man to love girls, not boys. You don't want to fight your battles in the valley. It is evangelism that catapults you and relocates you to the mountaintop. To the mountaintop. I declare that from today, your position will be a strategically advantageous position. Any devil fighting with you,
Jesus.
Any evil contending with you,
Jesus.
I now declare that your location has changed.
Amen.
From the valley to the mountaintop.
Amen.
Receive your enviable location.
I receive it.
The mountaintop. When you're on the mountaintop, a little effort is assisted by gravity. When you roll a stone, gravity takes over. When you are in the valley, you must push the stone up. Mahasata, may soul winning trigger supernatural help. May soul winning,
Jesus,
potentiate your weakest efforts.
Amen.
May soul winning,
oh yes,
locate you at a place of advantage.
Jesus.
May soul winning,
Jesus,
place your academic life at the mountaintop.
Yes.
Emotional life on, yes, the mountaintop.
Yes.
Financial life on the mountaintop.
Yes.
Receive a mountaintop location in the name of Jesus. The battles we are fighting. It's not enough to have the right pamphlet. You can't see my face. It's not enough to have the right textbook. I'm preaching. 30 minutes ago, I was very careful. Now I'm not careful. If it's important to you, some of you have been to nightclubs. You went home at 3 a.m. You went to your room at 4 a.m. holding your slippers. When you raise your dress, you couldn't find your panties. Suddenly, you are in the church. You are behaving like Memuna. Memuna, who must be at home at 8:30. I'm saying that your academic success will not depend only on the textbooks you are using, but where you are standing to wage war. Look at your pretty face. How is it possible that a man with two testicles cannot locate you too much to say, I love you? How is it possible? Even sometimes the men come to you and say that, can you show them your friends? They come to ask you to don't you have any friend? Is there any girl, a guy has asked that question before? Yes. Yeah. Meanwhile, you are standing there. I said, you are standing there. it is because of where you are standing. If you are at the mountaintop spiritually, they will come to ask you for you. I'm preaching. It is because you are in the valley. It's because you are in the plains that you are not at an advantage. I'm saying that in the battles of life, where you stand to fight is important. That is why we spend our time publishing salvation. Because when you publish salvation, you suddenly rise to the mountaintop. Clap your hands for Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
I can't hear you.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Number five. Number six. Oh, then we have closed. Number six. Soul winning guarantees beautiful feet. Beautiful what? There is nowhere in the Bible God has promised. How about you look at your feet, your shoes? Some of you, your shoe is like you are from Obuasi Mines. Now, this number six, because we are ending, I want you to be extremely quiet to hear what I have to say about number six. The Bible says that those who publish salvation, who bring good tidings. Should I stop at this point? You can come tomorrow morning. It's okay. No, I'll be here in the morning. I should preach. I should finish at least this point. Yes. Those who publish salvation, oh, you can't see. Those who publish salvation . What does God say? They have what? Beautiful what? How beautiful upon the mountains are the fingers, are the eyes, are the lips. How beautiful on the mountains are the ears. No. My dear friend, one of the things you will need in life are beautiful feet. The feet are not beautified by shoes. The feet are beautified by salvation. The more souls you win, the more beautiful your feet. So we ask ourselves, what is the use of beautiful feet? Beautiful feet will make you attractive. But more importantly, beautiful feet are very necessary for the pleasures of your life. For the what? Pleasures. Anyone who will marry will need beautiful feet. Pleasures. You see, when you see feet, if you look at it, you have a good Bible. The word feet are not these five vestigial outpouchings. This is not a foot. When the Bible talks about feet, Mommy, can you please check for me? Strong's Concordance. The word feet or foot means, the Greek word is pudendum. What? Pudendum. The plural is pudenda. I'm not teaching. It's the if you hit that word, foot. Who has found it? You found it? The foot, the word feet. Please say it to us. We are closing the service.
It says pudenda.
Pudenda. Pudenda is sexual organs. Sing, girl, go and sing. How can I be preaching and the people are rejecting the message I'm preaching? LP, check the meaning of pudenda. Pudendum. English, pudendum. Or dictionary, I mean, Google pudendum.
The external genital organs of a human being.
What? Stand up and read the words.
The external genital organs of a human being, especially of a woman.
Evangelists have beautiful genital organs. Oh. I don't like this atmosphere. You cannot evangelize and have low sperm count. You cannot evangelize and not have a good sexual life. I mean, your penis is beautiful. I was a girl, I will say yes to a guy who is into soul winning. There is a supernatural stamp on his penis. I'm going back to Accra tomorrow. It's late, but this church, I'm When a Hebrew is talking about beautiful feet, he's using an euphemism. That's why the real meaning in the Strong's, the Hebrew is pudenda. That's the English. And I didn't say it. Am I here teaching some strange doctrines? I took you. Pudenda is the human external, not internal, not ovaries. The testicles are smooth. The penis is beautiful to look at. Shall we rise to our feet and close the service? Just lift your hands and let's close. Out of evangelism. Yes, please take your conference. You are a girl and you want your vagina to be nice. Are you aware that a woman can marry and her husband doesn't like his vagina? He's not attracted, but he likes the house help's vagina. That's why one of the things God does, he doesn't just beautify your hair or your face or your breast, but the vagina itself is customized. If I were you, I'll win souls. It is only at this stage of your life that your breast and face and arms are. There is a certain area, there's a certain realm of life we look at more than your face. There is another face we are looking at. People, do you have beautiful feet? You may think I'm joking. You may think I'm joking.
There's a spiritual relevance of your body parts.
I know how to joke. This, you will remember me one day. When in spite of your beautiful face, your nose, your breast, your arm, your chin, your body, your stomach, your husband will be torn between the pudender of Esther and your pudender. Pudendum. Plural is da. Singular is doom. Tonight, I am preparing you for a future. Look, there are women here. As we are dancing, they know. There are men here. And many of you will know one day, yeah, that you are with somebody that you are not attracted to. You are with somebody. You don't feel drawn. And you are strongly magnetized to her. And what beautifies your feet? Ask me, my doctor, how is evangelism connected to your external genital organs? How? But you will grow up to experience what we call the non-linearity of life. Life is non-linear. There are no straight lines in life. All these things is man who made them. There's nothing God makes that's a straight line. For a man to be drawn sexually to you, even when his ring is on your finger, it's not automatic. Tonight, I want us to covenant. Because what we are talking about may not be you, but your son. Your unborn daughter. Today I've taught you, God is not only interested in our lips, our hands, our head, our eyes, our ears. There are scriptures that govern the use of our ears. The use of our lips. Tonight I've taught you how to pay attention. You see, but many of you may still think we are joking here. I talked about power today. I talked about power. Evangelism gives you power over devils. God is a rewarder. He will reward you with power over devils. His presence is a reward for those who dare to go out. His power is a reward for those who dare to win a soul. The concealment of your sins is a reward for those who lead people to salvation. Give me envelopes. I want everybody tonight to plant 100 Ghana cedi seed as your covenant token that God should give you a bigger revelation of evangelism. If God says you should go, there is nothing in it for him. If God wants to win a soul, he can frighten him at dawn. He knows how to turn a person. The Bible says the heart of the king. The king's heart is where? In the hospital. It's where? In the hands of God. God doesn't need you to save a soul. He does not. You are inconsequential in the salvation plan. If he has involved you, it only means that there is something in it for you. And beautiful feet represents a beautiful life. How happy is the man who has no interest in any woman's breast because the breast of his wife satisfies him? You can remove your t-shirt. Doesn't mean anything to me. I'll just say, no, respect yourself and cover it. There's nothing you have I'm interested in. Why? I'm satisfied. And because of that, I have a ministry. You don't know how the dots are connecting. We are not being vulgar here. We are talking about your future work. Your future mental condition. Whether you will be in jail. Whether somebody will stab you because you went near his wife. If you are interested in planting 100 Ghana Cedi seed, come. And write on it, beautiful feet. I'm not joking. Do you really think I'll leave Accra to come here to joke? You think so? What are you writing on it? 100 Ghana cedis. We are sowing a seed. Psalm 51 says, gather my people who by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. Beautiful feet. What you are writing here may have nothing to do with you, but your second generation. I should be quiet. When your feet are beautiful, you have no interest in a man's anus. Unless you take me to be a comedian. I'm a fanti, but I'm not a comedian. I came here to deal with the roots. The what? The envelope's lying here. Somebody sitting down there should come and pick an envelope for 100 Ghana Cedi seed. are dealing with things. Who by covenant, who by sacrifice have made a covenant. You don't make a covenant with God with just English words. You slash the truth.
Yeah.
Will your daughter love girls one day? Will your daughter love girls sexually one day? The answer is in that envelope I gave you. If you love your children unborn, come. If you have 50 cedis, come and plant a seed. Beautiful feet.
The same. Your name is to be hallowed. From the rising, of the sun.
Tomorrow morning, I'm doing 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Your name is to be hallowed.
Stand to your feet.
From the rising of the sun to the setting.
Lift your hands and sing. The setting of the sea.
Your name
is to me. Lift your hands and sing for the last time.
The rising of the sea. To the setting.
You want to sow 20 Ghana cedis? Come.
Your name.
Beautiful feet. Sexual perversions. I'm waiting for you.
Sing
it now.
There's an envelope here for somebody. There's an envelope here for somebody.
To the certain, to the certain, your name.
I wish you buy a sheep for somebody. Leave it. Come again. How I wish you would buy a sheep. A little sheep. You can choose a bishop. Buy a little sheep and say, I'm blessing you. Not me. Me, I eat snakes. It's a miracle for you. Do you need a miracle? Shoes. You need shoes. You need shoes. This shoe is nice. If he did it for Hannah. Hannah. Do you know Hannah?
Yes.
Does she know Hannah? How is Hannah related to you? Oh, her mother is called Hannah. Oh. How is Hannah related to you? Oh. Is that also what you are looking for? How did I call you? I said you should come and get what? I just called you. Do you believe in miracles?
Your name is to be hallowed.
This envelope is for a sheep. When you buy the sheep physically, try also and bring a sheep to God. A spiritual sheep, a soul. Let's put God to a test. A physical sheep to looks like somebody who will eat sheep. And a spiritual sheep. Don't bring a goat to church. Make sure you tame the person to be a sheep. And as he's here, you'll be taming him.
Adonai.
If you are here and you are not born again, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Close your eyes, everyone. You want to give your life to Christ? Come to me right now. Step forward here. Come. I will hold your hand. And today, you will be God's permanently. I'm counting five. I don't know who is coming. I want to hold somebody's hand here and pray with that person. Who is coming? Who is coming? Beautiful. Hold my hand. And the whole church, join. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
Lift your left hand. I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
I realize I'm a sinner.
I realize I'm a sinner.
I am in need of your salvation.
I'm in need of your salvation.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Practically.
Practically.
Properly.
Properly.
With proofs.
With proofs.
Today.
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 I turn away. From superficial relationships.
From superficial relationships.
I enter deep. Into my relationship with you.
Into my relationship.
I am a sinner. Let the blood.
Of your son. Wash me.
Cleanse me. Today.
I declare.
Publicly.
Publicly.
I belong to Jesus. I will serve him.
I will walk with him.
I will obey him. I will live for him.
I've turned my back.
To the world.
I will walk.
With Jesus.
All the days.
Of my life. I'm born again.
I'm born again.
I'll follow instructions. I'll be led.
I'll be guided.
I'm not stubborn. Who is coming to follow?
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.